The following is a 1500 ESPN Twin Cities production.
Raised on basketball. Raised in front of a computer screen. Raised for covering the game. Raised by Wolves. Now, talking all things Timberwolves with beat writer Derek James, here's Benny Hill with the Raised by Wolves podcast.
Yes, indeed. We are back for another edition of Raised by Wolves. We are presented to you by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand and official TV of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm Manny Hill. Derek James is here. And we have a third person here in the studio with us. I think, is this your third time with this us, Kyle Radke?
Third time. And I'll put on the record, I have a TCL TV.
Do you?
So,
how do you like it?
It's great.
Great.
Yeah.
I need to get
it. I have no problems with it. Affordable. Got it at Target. It's great. Also good. A sponsor of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's right.
Man, we're just hitting all the sponsors.
Kyle Radke is with us, and you are, like, you do just about everything for the Wolves website, right?
Yeah, written content. We have a great video team and a great social team. I just kind of, put their work on the website along with our associate Julian, who's a great writer as well. So right now on the site, it's a little stagnant with the season ended, but next week we have roster reviews started, and I'm heading to the combine in about two and a half weeks. So. We'll ramp it up.
Combine, Kyle.
Yeah, I actually like the combine. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you may not have all the height, but I bet you have a really high vertical and good standing reach.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I also think I'm noticing something. You don't have a cast on your eye. I think this is the first time.
Yeah.
This is your third time here, and this is the first time you have not had a cast on your arm.
It's true. I think that is true.
That is 100% true.
If you can see, I apologize to the audience listening. You can't see this, but you guys can see right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bone, my hand.
Really?
Yeah. So, it's fine though. I played basketball today. It's good.
Good.
It's just crappy. It just sticks out.
I have a bone that sticks out of my hand. It's fine. My hand modeling career is over.
No big deal. Well, welcome back. Thanks for coming back with us. Lots to get to. I mean, this had to have been like, what was this like for you this year getting, sort of, going through a season that, I mean, we're seeing so many like relevant basketball games in April, and it's been so long for this franchise that we've seen that, and now you get a playoff season too.
I'm sure just the day to day experience of the job, because I know even like for the playoffs, like as media, like I'm there once every great while, and I went up to like game three, and it's like wow. I mean, everything just feels bigger and like everything's so much more important. I mean, imagine day to day, even just having like the playoffs and all that attention really ramped up your job too.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. It was, you're right, because every game in March and April was like huge. I mean, meaningful basketball games. And obviously once Jimmy went down, and everybody asks, well, when Jimmy went down, the team fell apart. I mean, they were 8-9. They were slightly below 500. They didn't look great all the time.
They went from like a 48 win pace to a 37. Like, it wasn't the end of the world. It wasn't great, though.
And then you get to the games where you had to win, I think it was like 5 out of 6 or 5 out of 7 and 3 in a row to end the season and make the playoffs, which is kind of an abnormal year for a 47-win team to be the A seed. But, yeah, it was crazy. I will say, like, this is my – hopefully my boss isn't listening. If so, he's on vacation right now. Eric, enjoy your vacation. I always call the week after the season my unofficial week off, where I kind of go to work. I do work, but you need a breather. And this year, more than any year, it's like, oh. Like, there was just so much stuff that happened. And, Jimmy's injury, the All-Star game, the team, playing well. And then, kind of going in, and you don't know. You're planning for all these different scenarios, right? On the last night of the season, we have our content plan, and it's, 20 things if we win. Yeah. And then if we lose, it's like, what's our message here? This is, and thank God they won, probably one of the best Timberwolves games of all time. It was a crazy year. It was pretty insane.
That Denver game had to be, I was sitting here at the station actually watching.
We were both watching it.
Yeah, we were both watching it.
Because we had Matt Moore on like 10 minutes after.
Right, yeah, and we taped the pod afterwards. But you being there, like that atmosphere for a regular season game and everything, I mean, the season was basically on the line that night. But, I mean, to be there, that had to have been pretty crazy, just that environment, because it's Target Center. We remember those days, like as when we were kids watching, KG and all those playoff seasons. so many years ago, and to see that again had to have been really cool.
Yeah, man, I literally had to. So I sat in the suite up above. They have a media a suite level for.
It's actually just his personal suite.
For extra media
the
members.
The Kyle Radke suite.
But I literally had to go down to the concourse area. So I was like sweating and I was like you know when you feel like sweat on the side of your body?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh,
that's what I felt that. And I was like, I got to get up. And I got to, if you look at my Twitter, I didn't tweet at all for like 25 minutes during the game. Cause with like 4 minutes left in the fourth and all of overtime, I was sitting on the concourse, like with the fans and people are giving high fives. I'm like, I'm joining them. I'm like, yeah. And it's like, I'm like, wait, I need to put video clips on the website right now. But whatever. That was insane. You saw the Target Center, and I would say for the first half of that game, it was nervous energy.
Yeah.
The crowd was like, what's going on? And then at the overtime, it was like, nobody's letting anything back. So it was incredible. And we even saw in game three, you were there.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the place was electric. You see a win. And obviously to make the playoffs, and we've heard it a million times, we made the playoffs for the first time since 2004. If you don't win a game in the playoffs, then the next thing is, they haven't won a playoff game since 2004.
Yeah.
Now the thing is, I haven't won a road playoff game since 2004, so that'll be the thing for next season. But it's nice to just kind of scratch those things off.
Yeah.
And the fan base showed they're incredible. If they want to be engaged, and if the team's giving a reason to be engaged, they're one of the best.
That's been my message ever since I started covering this team, is if you give this fan base any reason, and you know, even when the teams were getting better and better, even into the Kevin Love era, they'd always kind of show up, but then after I noticed a weird trend once, you know, it was clear the Love era wasn't going anywhere. The more they won, the attendance dropped.
Yeah.
It's like you really do have to prove it.
Yeah.
But this fan base has put their trust in the team over and over again, and, you know, they finally had something to actually hang their hat on, an actual legitimate playoff win, and at home, too. Like, I think that if they're going to win a game, it should have been at home.
And I've noticed, too, and Kyle, maybe you can speak to this, too, that the fans that you interact with on Twitter are probably not the same. I mean, there's some similarities with some people, but for the most part, the fans that are at the games are different from the fans that are like tweeting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lot different.
Absolutely. And I would say the ones tweeting, and Derek, you know this, and Manny, from just being in the creative kind of world in general, the people that are commenting on your things are generally negative. There's nobody leaves positive comments very often.
Right.
So the people that are commenting back on Twitter, I think I put a clip up of Towns. He had like a spin move against Houston, and somebody's like, "Well, that's a travel." And it's
can you just like IP like ban
just,
all highlight truthers?
It's a good play, but that, I mean, that's how people are wired, and that's how it is. So the people at the game, it's kind of how it goes. The ticket situation at sporting events is crazy. Like, for example, the last night of the game, a coworker, she gave her ticket to one of her friends, and her friends wanted to bring her mom, who's never been to a Timberwolves game.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Martha, you are in for a treat. This is the most significant game in 14 years. And I saw, you know, I met up with her at halftime, and she's like, this is insane.
Yeah,
I've never, you know, is this what they're always like? And I'm like, no.
See, and
I've worked here for 6 years and not many are like this.
I think that's the difference between like the Wild, where their fan base will turn out no matter what.
Yeah.
And they'll cheer, you know, because that's what they always want to do. And they're still like, you know, the fun team. And, you know, we all love hockey. Like, it's so much different, though, with the Timberwolves in this state. People want to care. And when they do, it is a very loud and raucous fan base. I remember when I started here at 1500, I was, you know, meeting with our web editor, Derek Wetmore, for the first time. He was saying, I think this really is a basketball town behind the Vikings. You know, he's on the Twins beat. He covers some Vikings, too. He does all this other stuff. And he's like, no, this is there is definitely a basketball market in here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just see that need, you know, just throughout the season. And just, you know, with people when they get so down on the team. Like, the fact that people are even upset, too, is a good thing. If they just didn't care and just didn't talk about the team, then that would be a real problem. But one way or the other, people care.
I'll even think about, like, just how different it is, like, looking at the players, where you see after any of the Houston games, where it's like it's Andrew Wiggins and it's Towns and it's Jeff Teague or somebody at the podium. And it's like, that's the whole – this isn't just like, you know – an FSN post game interview. This is like not this
that
is
was
NBA
you, have
TV.
Play, you have the playoff symbol in the background.
Yeah, like yeah. And that's when it kind of hit me. Seeing like I think it was after game one or two, and it was Wiggins and Teague sitting there yeah. in that exact position, and I'm like, that's when it really kind of hit me. Like, whoa.
This isn't just Johnny and Jason, Jerry and Kent, and you know all the local guys that right. we know. Like this is
it was those guys and plus
the national
all the big,
media.
All
and
the
you're
big
just
national
on,
guys.
Yeah, it's definitely it was really cool to be a part of. I think just for me, I mean, this is my first playoff experience covering, and I think this is the eighth year covering the team and fifth or sixth credentialed. So I've never experienced this, and so just being there with everyone else and just all the people that were there. And I mean, the normal. So the media room, there's the media room, you know, the chairs, workstations, all that. Then they usually have like the dining room and all that. Well, the dining room was converted to an extension of the media room. And then mm-hmm. the actual dining room was in the Hubert's building. They actually had the restaurant, which, by the way, is amazing. Like, how do you get Hubert's to shut down for two NBA playoff games?
Well,
I think they're
shut down, period.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they're
missed
done.
That.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
But who got the keys to go in there to set up for the media meals? Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just everything is just so much bigger than that. And you just, and yeah, too, I know it. Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns are up there. It's like, I remember when you guys were rookies.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember when we were complaining about, why isn't Karl-Anthony Towns playing more? And Sam Mitchell's like, he played 20 games last year and played 20 minutes a game. I'm not playing him 38 minutes in his first 10 games.
Yeah.
And now he plays 38 minutes and everybody's mad that they think he's playing too many.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just.
Whatever you got, we can get mad about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it works.
Kyle, what were the players like? How much interaction did you do with the players over the course of the season? I mean, there was, you know, early in the year, you know, Jimmy is still like the huge thing. And you know, getting him was still fresh and there was still a lot of excitement. There was excitement all year long. But you kind of had that early season anticipation was coming into fruition, and then, you know, and then he had to sit the two games, and then there was the Detroit and Indiana games. And then you go through the season, and there were 29 and 16. Like, there were some peaks and valleys mm-hmm. over the mm-hmm. course of the season. So for you, like, being in the building, like, what was that like to sort of interact with the guys and sort of go through some of the same sort of ups and downs that they were going through over the course of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it was a team because I don't think the team won more than five games in a row, but they also never lost more than three in a row.
Right.
So this is a team that...
They didn't even lose their third in a row till late in the season.
Yeah, and it was... Yeah,
like the last 2 weeks or something?
Yep. Poor timing for it. But but I mean, as far as level-headed teams go, never getting up too high. Because I remember when the Wolves beat the Warriors, mm-hmm. must have been 2 years ago, like Shabazz blew up for like 35 or 40 points.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was an April game and everybody was like, oh, this is amazing. We're going to miss the playoffs. And obviously the team was so high just because of all the struggles they've had. This team kind of knew the end goal. So it never got too high, never got too low. I mean, and I think the perfect example of that is like, look at the guys on the team. You have Taj, you have Jimmy, you have Andrew, Jeff, guys that just don't show a whole lot of emotion all the time. So it was good. I mean, honestly, with the veterans from our end, the guys were great to work with.
You know the funny thing about Taj, and I would just interject real quick, you could just tell that he was just so frustrated with the game that just happened. You're like, Taj, you want to talk? Yeah. And then he'll sit down there and he'll give all his answers. It's just in full uniform too, which doesn't really happen.
Him. Yeah, he cares, man. Like, and that's the thing with these guys. They care.
Yeah.
So
Taj was like, can I get a box score? Where's the box score? Give me a box score.
I mean, and if you look at some of those plays in the Houston series, and I mean, obviously the Utah fans are complaining about it now, but some of the I'm not going to call them flops, but some of the fouls that were called and some of the screens, like he was upset.
Yeah.
But all in all, that great guys to work with. Jimmy was great. We're close with his agent. So his agent will kind of text us all the time, like, hey, like this might be a thing that you guys can get in on. In China, he was great bringing us around at All-Star. We got to go to an event with him. And if you talk to other teams, that stuff doesn't happen all the time. It's not like a common thing where you're talking to the player's agents or, you know, they're trying to create content. Because what we try to explain to the players at the beginning of every season, and Jamal Crawford was great at this too, is we're trying to make you guys look good.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not trying to make you look bad. Like, you're going to have bad games. Yep. Like, there's going to be negative things said about you, sure, but we're not doing that. So just when you're frustrated, don't be frustrated at us. Like, we're on your side. So, and obviously we've had players in the past where they might not be the most likable, and on our end, that's difficult, but that's kind of part of the job. So all in all, like, great guys to work with. I think the best player I've ever worked with was Jamal this year. He was just like, I think I might have told you guys a story from China, but we were going to a 2K event, and we're in a van, and these kids want to take pictures of Jamal. Mm-hmm. They see him through the window of the van, and the driver's like, "Sir, I'm so sorry. We'll get out of here. Like, this is embarrassing." Jamal goes, "No, dude. Like, we're good."
And that's awesome.
Jamal was inside the van posing inside the van for pictures with people outside the van. There was a line of hundreds of kids. And we went through, I mean, we were 50 minutes late for this event, and it threw up our whole day. But it was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jamal is a guy that, I mean, I've always liked him as a player, and I've always heard from various media members that just talk about just how awesome and how great a guy he is.
And him and Taj were the two big ones that I heard, like, you're going to love this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that they just, and especially, like, Jamal, from what I've heard, just loves talking about basketball. Like, you just start any sort of basketball-related topic with him, and he absolutely loves it.
He plays pickup games in the summer, and he's, like, 37, 38 years old.
Yeah, he told me that he goes home and he'll watch YouTube videos of people playing basketball.
Wow.
Like, I saw that. Have you seen this kid? He's 17 out of blah, blah, blah. He's a 3-star recruit. Jamal will be like, I watched his YouTube highlights last week. I'm like, you're weird. I mean, like, I love you, but like, you're a weirdo.
Like, why?
Yeah. Like, do you watch TV shows? Scandal's a great show. Do you watch that? No. I watch YouTube highlights.
I watch teenagers play basketball on YouTube.
Yeah, like us.
That's awesome. Jamal's great.
Jimmy seems like the kind of guy, when you get him away from, like, you know, like a pure basketball side, as much as he loves basketball, like, he could just let loose and has, you know, a good amount of fun.
Yeah, no, Jimmy is fun. He toys around with us. His humor is tough to read.
Sometimes I
have no idea if he's joking with us or serious. And then sometimes you think he's joking and he's not joking, and then you just leave and I sit at your desk.
I remember there was that game where I think he made some big plays down the stretch, and I was like, yeah, we're going to talk to Jimmy. And he comes out, he's like, oh, guys, I'm not talking tonight. It's like Friday night too, which is always bad news. And he leaves, and everyone's like, where's he going? Is he seriously just leaving? Like, no, he said that he was leaving. I don't know why you're surprised that he's leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a funny guy.
What was Jeff Teague like?
Quiet. Yeah. As a player, I couldn't get a great read on until the end of the season.
Yeah.
Until he started in those playoff games, he showed some emotion. He showed some intensity. He's got a little sense of humor. I think somebody asked him, where was this intensity in the regular season? He's like, dude, I do this every game.
It's like, I remember that.
It's like,
that was great.
Maybe internal intensity, but definitely not external.
Like, in the middle of the season in, like, Denver or something, he's like, I'm a glass case of emotion right now. I need to get it all together. Yeah. And the outside, just stoic.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious. But we had Robbie Calland on. Do you follow Robbie?
I don't.
Vice Sports. He covered the Hawks for a number of years for Hawks Hoop on ESPN's True Hoop Network.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he was around Teague for a while, and he told the story of when Teague found out Joe Johnson got traded to Brooklyn, and Teague was just on the couch, and he actually texted Joe, who was, like, upstairs in his house. He was like, wait, you were in the same house and you texted him? He's like, yeah, Joe just has a big house. And I guess, like, he's still keeps his family close. He's a very, like, seems like a reserved guy, doesn't it? Try to do too much.
My favorite story was when his brother Marcus signed a 10-day with the Grizzlies, and we talked to Jeff at Shoot Around, and he said, cool opportunity to have Marcus here. And he goes, yeah, yep, cool. And he goes, are your parents, maybe some family members going to come out? And he goes, honestly, I haven't talked to them at all, so yeah, whatever. Marcus comes up 5 minutes later, goes, yeah, so excited for Jeff, and he's having a great year, and I'm texting my parents all morning, and they're going to come out. And Jeff was walking by. He's like, they texted you? Like, Jeff's like, I didn't get the text. Like, so Jeff, their parents are texting. Like,
Marquise is the favorite kid. Yeah. Is it Marcus or Marquise?
I think
it's
might be Marquise.
I think it's Marcus.
Yeah.
Even though it's Marquis.
Yeah, I think it's Marcus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he was at Kentucky. He won the national title with Anthony Davis
and
at Kentucky.
He was drafted by Tibbs in Chicago.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
He was a bull.
Yeah, he was a bull.
Tibbs just missed one.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
So what's up with you for the off season now? I mean, you're going to be doing some Lynx stuff this summer?
Yeah, Lynx stuff. They started training camp on Sunday. They're obviously great to work with. This might be like the best team they've had. It's a sneaky good team. So it's going to be interesting storylines with Waylon and with the Gophers job. I'm really curious how she balances that.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting. And the thing is, if anybody can, this is cliche. People say this all the time. Well, if anybody can do it, she can. She actually can. Like,
yes.
She's dedicated. She's up for new things. You saw her last year do, you know, play-by-play stuff for basketball. This is a person that lives, breathes basketball all day. So she's going to do great. It's just going to be interesting because she even told us last week, it's more so it's time management than anything else. Just, you know, like all of us. But, yeah, that'll be interesting. But, yeah, Lynx content, draft content. It's my unofficial week off, which might trickle into next week. We haven't decided yet. We stay busy. That's the one thing other NBA teams, they always go, oh, your summers are slow. And it's like, well, we have a WNBA team. So no.
They've won
four championships,
yeah.
By the way.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you're starting to see the Lynx get more coverage, and it's probably sad
it's
taken this long.
It is, yeah.
But this team is, and you talk to Cheryl, and it's like Cheryl should have.
She is fantastic.
She should have her own TV show. Like, she's unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, her take on the White House stuff today was, I mean, spot on, obviously. They haven't got an invite yet, so, which might be a talk for later, but. Yeah, the Lynx, they're the first team that I covered professionally, and you know, I fell in love with them then, and they're just a joy to cover.
I've been telling people about Lindsay too, that, you know, perfect example, because, you know, so much was being made about, wow, she's never been a coach before, she doesn't have the coaching experience. I saw Dawn Staley take over at, I think it was Temple, while she was
and
still
she's been
playing.
In touch with Dawn.
Yeah, while she was still playing in the WNBA for the Charlotte Sting, I think, at the time. And she did really well at Temple, eventually took over at South Carolina and won a national title at South Carolina last year. So, and she had no head coaching experience either when she took over at Temple.
See, that's the funny thing. Like, people are like, oh, they have no playoff experience. Oh, they've never done this, they've never done that. Well, yeah, no one's ever done anything until they've done it.
Right.
It's when you get out of college and you apply for a job and it says, entry-level job, 3 to 5 years of experience. And you're like, what the hell? That doesn't make
any sense. I'm also spending 5 years getting entry-level experience.
Yeah, it's like,
sorry.
I was 17 then. Like, what? And I totally agree with you guys' point. I think, well, they go, well, she's never been a head coach before. I think college is different. I think if you know the X's and O's, you can get that your players to do that.
And it's college.
Right now, it's you need a recruiter.
Yes.
You've had a team that has been good, and you've had two coaches leave, or one leave, I guess, just last year, right? But I mean, like, you've had a coach that had success with the program and left. Why, you know, tell me as a player, why do I want to go to the school?
Well, and she pulls up Pat Riley and just drops her rings down one by one.
Yeah. And I think, like, obviously it'll be interesting. I don't quite really know how NCAA rules go. I've lost track of rules and what you can or can't do, but
right.
I think NCAA coaches have.
Yeah. I would think having the Lynx, you know, right there to go do whatever it is a huge benefit.
Yeah, and I think for some of the really good recruits here at home in the state, they all know who Lindsay is.
Mm-hmm.
They all know who she is from her playing days as a Gopher and obviously from her playing days with the Lynx. So she's going to be able to, you know, people are going to gravitate to her.
Well, she's
got the right personality, like, for it and everything.
These girls have either grown up, first off, knowing nothing but the WNBA. It's existed for their entire lifetime.
Yeah.
But
right.
They might have grown up watching Lindsay at the U, Minnesota, in the Olympics. I mean, there's a lot of Lindsay Whalen exposure. So, yeah, I mean, she's a name that, you know, carries a lot of weight, and she does have that reputation to back it up.
And, yeah, I think that's huge. I think having the WNBA for the majority of players' you know, these college kids, they don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. And that's what they strive to be. And that's kind of, we heard Carly Wagner say that, like, from day one, this is kind of what I wanted to do. But if you look at the links, I don't even know if I can say this, but they have like, their team is just full of badasses. Like,
yeah.
Can I say that? Is that a thing that people say on the radio?
Perfectly fine. Yep.
See, like Waylon, she's a pit bull. You know what I mean? Like when she plays, you have Simone, who's just, you know, Rebecca's tough as nails. Sill, and then coming off, you get this is a team that got Tanisha Wright to come out of retirement. Like, it's almost
I always thought
it's
Rebecca
almost like
Brunson. It's
the Warriors effect, and that we don't talk about that. Veterans are coming. Mm-hmm. To play there because they want to win.
And it's a culture. Now, Royce's going to hear this and make fun of me for using the word culture, but it is like it's a winning atmosphere. It's a winning culture, and I mean, Lindsay's been at the forefront of that, and everybody that's here has been a huge role. How cool was that for Carly Wagner to get drafted by the Lynx?
That was a fun moment to be there for.
Yeah, and we were there. Her parents were there, which is like more than anything. I think. Like I'm kind of a sensitive soul, but just seeing her parents and how proud they were in that moment to be in the press conference room.
Where do we sit?
They're wearing their Gophers gear. That was cool. She was just truly. I mean, she's got an uphill battle to make the team now, but just for that opportunity in general,
to make this about me, but do you know who asked her first question as a professional WNBA player?
I'm just gonna assume it was you.
It was me.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Kyle, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Next time you come in, I know I tweeted at you. I think it was yesterday.
We need quizzes.
Yeah, so next time we get you in, maybe we'll get you in later this summer, and you'll have to quiz us on some Wolves even some Lynx stuff too.
Yeah, what we could do is just have a special this podcast just all quiz.
We did that last time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. For at least for most of it. Yeah.
I'm totally down with that.
Yeah,
though.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Well, thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys.
Good to see you with a healthy wrist now.
I'm healthy.
For the first time.
Yeah, feels good. Feels good.
Kyle Radke joining us here on the Raised by Wolves podcast. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Raised by Wolves. Hopefully you'll give us a friendly rating. We would greatly appreciate that. You can find us at podcast1.com and 1500ESPN.com.
If you have an issue with the review, leave 5 stars and then leave your feedback in the review.
That would be great.
5 stars, though.
We were brought to you, of course, by TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand and official TV of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Kyle Radke owns one.
I do.
Which is really, really
cool. You meant
really
to say
cool.
It was inexpensive, not cheap.
Is that what I said?
Maybe. I can't remember.
It was affordable. It's an affordable TV.
Yes, there we go.
For Derek James, for Kyle Radke, I am Manny Hill. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves. And enjoy some playoff basketball. We got some of that with the Wolves this year, and hopefully many more to come in the coming years. And enjoy the rest of the NBA playoffs as we progress through the rest of the season. Until next time, talk to you then.